Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the program, we are going to continue our studies, seven things in the Scripture that are better than sacrifice. And today we wish to consider that portion of Scripture that's found to it, given to us in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. Of the seven things already, we have seen obedience to the Lord is better than sacrifice, to do justice and judgment is better than sacrifice, and today to show mercy is better than sacrifice. This is our theme verse for the day, Hosea 6:6. The Lord spoke and he says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Now, this does not mean that God was setting aside the sacrifices. We're talking about the things that are better than sacrifices. The sacrifices were necessary. They were the very religious life of the children of Israel. The temple and the tabernacle, as beautiful as they were indeed made by God, or ordained by God, to be a meeting place with his people. But he met them on the grounds of the sacrifice, even as we must meet God upon the grounds of sacrifice. Those sacrifices only pointed forward to our Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood to put away our sins. And those sacrifices were necessary, but they introduced the people to God. We come to God by means of sacrifice. We come into his good graces by the means of the sacrifice. But after we are in the good graces of God, his life is in us, and we go on. And these are the things that follow that experience. And they're very, very important. And that's why, that's the sense in which they are better than the sacrifice. We go on, we develop. Now today on the broadcast, in this matter of showing mercy to others, we have grouped our study under three headings. First of all, God wants us to grow into his character. Number two, God helps us to grow into his character. Number three, when God gets through with us, we will be completely in his character. And by God, of course, we mean both the Father and the Son. The Lord Jesus on one occasion said to Philip, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. They are both of the same character. They are both of the same life. And God wants us in his character. And that's what we get after we're saved. We get a new life to begin a life for God, and then we begin to develop and we begin to grow. All right, let's consider now, for a little time, God wants us to grow into his character. The Lord demonstrated the meaning of all of this in that meaning of the scripture, Hosea 6 and 6. As a matter of fact, the Lord quotes it. In regard to his answering the Pharisees when they accused him of eating with publicans and sinners. We have this all recorded in Matthew chapter 9, and beginning at verse 9, if you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to follow us. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he rose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, and this is Matthew's house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? The inference was, why doesn't he eat with us? They considered themselves fit, ready for his presence. Notice, if you please, the Lord's answer. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Now you see, the Lord is quoting Hosea 6 and 6, our theme verse for the day. I want to see mercy from you people. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These proud Pharisees, they said, this can't be the Messiah. Look who he associates with. Does he associate with the elite of Israel? With the spiritual segment of Israel? No. He associates and he fellowships with the publicans and the sinners. And the Lord said, I came to help these people. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it's sinners who get saved. People who realize by the help of the Spirit of God that they are sinners. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And people said, now don't be negative in your ministry. Why talk about the fact that we're sinners? Talk about the fact of what we can become. Well, believe me, we have to make a beginning. We have to get into a right relationship with God. And that means that we have to, by the Spirit of God, to recognize our sinnership and come to God about that matter. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, the Lord Jesus says, and I will give you rest. We need rest in regard to the subject of our sins. It's a barrier between us and God. Now God has taken away the barrier, took it away by the precious blood of Christ, for shown by those sacrifices that these people were offering. Now it's very evident from Hosea 6 and 6 that the children of Israel were going on with their sacrifices, but they were not growing under the character of God. We read there, for I desired mercy from you people and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Now God wanted the burnt offerings. It's true. He wanted the sacrifice. And strangely enough, the children of Israel were very faithful in this matter. They were presenting the prescribed sacrifices. But those sacrifices did not indeed substitute for the character of God that he wants to produce in his people. And that's the subject of our message today. Now, God helps us grow into his character. First of all, to know him is to become like him. We use that even in mundane circles, even in the life which we live down here in the flesh, in our everyday life. We say, if you know people, you become like them, you admire them. And we do become like those whom we admire. Do we admire the Lord Jesus? That's what God is bringing before us, to help us to grow into his character, and first of all, to know him is to become like him. Now, the knowledge of God is better than sacrifice. Now, the grand purpose of God is that we might become like his Son. That's his purpose for us. This is seen in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Here we read, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Isn't that marvelous? God wants to conform us to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also glorified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified, rather. I read that wrong. I'll read it again. For whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. How does he glorify them? By bringing them into the image of his Son. God thought so much of the Lord Jesus Christ that he wanted millions in heaven just like him. That's said before that it was ever quoted on this broadcast. And it's a good quote. God thought so much of his Son, he wanted millions of sons just like him in the glory. Now he's working at it. And this is his purpose, and he's working by the power of the Holy Spirit of God to produce Christ in our lives. He sent his Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of Christ. We read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. There we read, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." This is the glorification that Romans 8 speaks of, "even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that does it. He brings us, he gives us help to come in to the character of Christ. In other words, he reproduces Christ in us if we'll let him operate in our lives. Now, this is the Spirit of God brought us to Christ, and he's bringing us into the image of Christ through his ministry. Did you notice, please, when we read this verse, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed." When we see him, we're changed. Why are we changed? Because we admire him. Why do we admire him? Because he loved us. Because he died for our sins. Took away that barrier that will keep us out of heaven. And when we accepted him, he gave us the righteousness and he gave us the help to live for him. Accepting Christ is the most important experience of the human life. God wants us to make his son our very own Savior. But when we do, he puts his Spirit within us, and that Spirit leads us. And we behold him as a glass in a mirror. And believe me, the mirrors of those days are not like our beautiful mirrors today. They were polished sheets of metal. They didn't have the mercury or the silver glass or backed mirrors that we have. But when we behold him as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, well, that's just transferred to us. We're changed from the same image to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, when God gets through with us, we're going to be just like Christ. This is found in 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is," not in a glass. "We'll see him as he is, and we will be completely in his character." And now John tells these people, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." That should be our ambition as Christians, to become like Christ. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, and may he have his way in our life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.